The gospel lesson this morning is taken from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33, and it's on page 1623 in your pew Bible, if you would like to follow along. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your very life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money. And then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, 'There's that person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it.' Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own." This is the word of God for the people of God. Would you join me in prayer? Loving and gracious God, source of all that is, giver of life, send your Holy Spirit among us and kindle within each one of us the fire of your love. May all that we say and all that we do give you honor and glory. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever been confronted with a situation in your life where you've had to make a difficult choice? Maybe that was in the context of a relationship with somebody. Maybe it was about a new job. Maybe it was whether to move to a new area or not. Have you ever been confronted with a choice, a difficult choice, one that's not easy to make, and perhaps a choice where the options aren't exactly clear as to which decision you should make, as to which one is the best? I love literature. I studied English. I had an English minor in college. And one of the things that I think is common between all great works of literature, my favorite book, which is Moby Dick, Russian authors, Dostoevsky, some of my favorites, Leo Tolstoy, all the great works of literature that we love that endure. Beyond the plot lines, beyond the characters, beyond the settings, there seems to be something that's common to all of these stories, the stories that stick with us and speak to us. And that is, in all of this literature, the characters are faced again and again with a set of choices. One of my favorite books is Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. Has anybody read that? Viktor Frankl was a psychoanalyst who studied under Freud, and then he was in Germany in the 30s and in the 40s and was taken into a concentration camp. He survived the concentration camp, but nobody else in his family did. And he wrote a book when he came out of the concentration camp about his time there. And he noticed one thing that was common to people's experiences in that concentration camp was that everybody was given a choice. Everybody was given a choice. And in the book, Man's Search for Meaning, he said that those who chose hope, those who chose to believe that a better day was possible, where humanity didn't treat each other the way that the Nazis were treating Jews and other people, that a new day was possible, that something better could happen. People who chose hope survived. Now, they may not have physically survived, but they survived. They lived. They were able to live in a particular way in those circumstances, even if they didn't survive them. Because they chose to hold on to hope. And the people who died, and these might not have been the people who just physically died, but people whose spirits were crushed, are people who chose to not hope, but chose to despair. Chose to believe that nothing good could ever happen again, that their lives were over. People who chose despair did not survive. And we see choices like that in front of us all the time. When Jesus is talking about discipleship, which is what he's doing in our scripture today, as the crowds are gathering around him, listening to him teach, and he's talking about what it means to be a follower. What Jesus is presenting to people are choices, daily choices, life choices, between life and between death, between hope and between despair. And Jesus pushes people in such a way that he says, if you choose to value other relationships, other people, other things above your relationship with me, then you really can't follow me. When Jesus says that you need to hate these family members, he's not talking about abandoning your family to follow Jesus or actually hating them, but he's talking about priorities and values. And what he's teaching is that sometimes when we seek to follow Jesus, there are things that get in our way of really doing that. Sometimes it's people and relationships. Sometimes it's things. We've looked over the last several weeks in Luke that sometimes our stuff, our material possessions and wealth, can be an inhibitor to following Jesus. And Jesus moves that into the realm of relationships and said, sometimes relationships can be an impediment to truly following me. And if you're not willing to risk those relationships, if you're not willing to make a choice, then you cannot be my disciple. And then Jesus uses a couple of examples. He talks about someone going out to build a building. And when you go out to build a building, you have to sit down and calculate whether or not you have the finances to see it to completion. And Jesus says it's also like a nation going out to war and takes 10,000 of his troops. It would be foolish to go against another army without first sitting down and looking at the logistics of it all, looking at your weaponry, the type of troops you have. And going against this other army, if you haven't sat down and done that work first, that's foolish. And Jesus says it's the same with following him. Sit down. Calculate the cost. Are you willing to make a choice? Are you willing to risk? Are you willing to give things up for the sake of following Jesus? Are you willing to make a choice between life and death, between hope and despair? Discipleship on a daily basis as we walk with God is a set of choices about how we're going to be in this world, about how we're going to live, about how we're going to treat people around us, especially the most vulnerable among us. Discipleship is a set of choices. And to make those choices, we need to first evaluate what we love, what we value, and if we're willing to give that up for Jesus. It's about choices. I'm reminded of a story of a man who woke up in a hospital bed. This was in the 1920s. Woke up in a hospital bed. His blood alcohol limit was 4 times the legal limit. Couldn't move, but he cried out in despair, God, if you're there, help me. This was a man that due to choices in life that he made and due to his addiction, he lost his wife, he lost his family, he lost his job. But he made a promise in that hospital bed that if he could get out and that if he could recover, that he would do what he could to help other people who were in his same situation. So he did just that. He got sober, he stayed sober, And he started to get some people together and to check in with them, people who were also trying to stay sober. And that man's name was Bill Wilson. And what Bill Wilson started eventually became Alcoholics Anonymous, which has helped millions of people around the world over the past several decades, because Bill Wilson made a choice. He chose life over death, hope over despair. And he made a commitment to it, to see it through, and to live in such a way that would help people around him. And he did it out of his discipleship. Bill Wilson became a Christian, and that became the basis for why he did what he did. He chose life over death and hope over despair. Another man in the 70s down in Georgia was looking around in his neighborhood and had been convicted by what he was hearing in his Baptist church. And he wanted to make a difference. So he and his wife Linda started building some homes for people. People who couldn't provide good housing for themselves. And they got a few people from their church together and they started just a couple. Well, that caught on. And Mildred and Linda Fuller started what we know as Habitat for Humanity. Because two people made a choice in response to their faith and what they'd been hearing and their conviction that they could make a difference. And they chose to live out their discipleship. They chose life over death, hope over despair. And look at the people who've been affected for the good because of a choice that two people made. Now, friends, you don't have to be a Bill Wilson or a Mildred and Linda Fuller or do something on that kind of a scale to really make a difference to those around you, to make a difference in the community. All it takes is one person who says, "Here I am, God. I'm willing to risk. I'm willing to risk people looking at me and thinking I'm kind of strange. I'm willing to risk relationships. I'm willing to part with stuff and with things that inhibit me from really serving you. I'm willing to make a choice of life over death and hope over despair." That's the life of discipleship. That's what Jesus calls each one of us to do. But to do it after we've counted the cost. Friends, the challenge before us this morning is to make a choice. To make a choice today, to make a choice tomorrow, and the next day, because the life of following Jesus, the life of discipleship, is an ongoing set of choices between what gives us and those around us life or what leads to death. What choice will you make? Amen. Friends, as a response to our faith and to the scripture that we have heard read this morning, I would invite you to stand and turn to page 882 in your hymnal. 882 as we join together in confessing our faith. Let us join together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Would you join me in a time of prayer? Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for your incredible love, for your love made known to us in Jesus Christ, who came among us, lived among us, taught us, showed us the way to be in a relationship with you and with each other, and set before us choices and taught us that discipleship, the road of following him, is a choice between life and death. God, it is my prayer for each one of us that we would on a daily basis choose life as we seek to follow you and to make a difference in the world around us. This morning we come to you in prayer with many heavy on our hearts. This morning we especially lift up Ron, Nancy, Lois, James, and Betty, asking for your will to be done and for a peace that is beyond all of our understanding. And we take a moment this morning to lift up other names of people or places that are on our hearts. Gracious God, we lift all these up to you, knowing that you love each one of us. You love all that have been named. And we pray for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. All of this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Would the ushers please come forward for the offering?